Okay, so we left off yesterday. We're trying to analyze what the background, what the reason for the din of Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha is, because that was ultimately what was behind Rava's Psach, Rava Paskat against Rav Yosef. Rava held that you can say Pagin Dibura, and we don't really accept the fact that you claimed Ploner Vani Leritzoni. We don't really think the Apostle Yehudus, because Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha. Rasha in the spot took one approach to the Gemara, and Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha is just a corollary of the din of Adam Karvitz Alatz. That was a simple reading of Gemara. It's really a din in Eidus. The only problem is that according to Rashi, it should be limited to Eidus. And then we find Rishon who take it out of Eidus, and then that seems to be some other pshat. We don't know what the other pshat is, but we're pretty confident that there is must be some other pshat. So we started to investigate and try to find Rishonim who invoke the principle of Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha out of the realm of Eidus, which leads us to believe they disagree with Rashi. And we found that Tosfos in the beginning of Masechet Bava Metzia that had it, in the sugya of Achal Techelev, etc. We had a Ramban, had it also. And all the Rishonim were addressing the same question, that question of Metzia Tav Gimel. Let's just go back to that point for a minute, what that question was, and all the different answers of the Rishonim. Again, any Rishon was bothered with the Kasha, clearly disagrees with Rashi. So the Kasha was, in a nutshell, the sheet of the Chachamim, that two Edom come and say that you ate Chelev, and the Chachamim say, no, the guy is believed to say otherwise, because of Amigo. Amigo, they could have said Mezer Ayisi. So again, we had some trouble with Amigo yesterday, but we just touched it up for us a little bit. But the question was, what do you mean Mezer Ayisi? Do you even have it on the board? How can I say Mezer Ayisi? Typically, ain't other Mezer Matzah Rasha. So Tosfos suggested the idea that, well, whenever you say in Derech Tshuva, so that's somehow the exception to the rule. That's not called Osatzma Rasha. The Ramban, I think we quoted both answers from the Ramban yesterday. Just one, only one. Okay, good. So we have more of this today. So the Ramban, hope we get the right one that we did yesterday. So the Ramban says that Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha is not applicable here, because even though from the pure vantage point of Ne'amanus, we don't really believe you, but that's going to translate to mean we're going to force you to bring a carbon that you claim you didn't, you're not chayav to bring. And when you're claiming that you're not chayav to bring it, that's Lefid Varecha, that's Chul Mi'azara. So from the vantage point of Namad, say from today till tomorrow, that we can scream to a blue in the face, they're not the Mason Mount for Russia, but at the end of the day is you claim that you're amazing, and you claim you're partner with the carbons. We have no right to force you. Lefid Varecha, that's considered to be a chay. That was the Ramban's one mahalo. Then the Ramban said, V'Eidi Shalema. Ramban says, no. We didn't say this to the Ramban. I thought we said both to the Ramban. No. This is where we left off yesterday. Okay, so comes the Ramban and says, you can't mix in to the sugya of karbanos. You can't start asking kashrus on the sugya of karbanos. I'll tell you why, says the Ramban. Because there's another factor in uchus karbanos. There's a word in uchus karbanos that's screaming out at us, which is the absolute requirement, the prerequisite to bring a karban. What's that word? Hoda. What does hoda mean? A hoda elav chatoso. There has to be a recognition, there has to be a realization from the Baal HaKorban himself, that he's chayav to bring the korban. We cannot superimpose all the regular dinim of Nemanos onto you. And therefore, although in terms of the regular rules of Nemanos, in other base amounts of Russia, we're stuck. It's almost an effect of the Ramban says, Exeris HaKosov. So the Ramban ends up in the same place as Tosfos, and he ends up in the second Teretz, the same place as the first Teretz, but really for a different Mahalach. So all Tosfos and the Ramban, all the Terutzim are all assuming that fundamentally Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha is really applicable here. The rules of Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha should have applied, but there's something that's stopping it. What is that something that's stopping it? What is ultimately stopping it? So Tosfos said, that's being said, Derech Tshuva. So Tshuva overrides everything. Then the Ramban says that we can't tell Ein L'chaivo L'avor Iser L'fi Devarav. Okay, so that kind of stops us from applying the rule of Ein Odeh Meis Matzah Rasha. Or the Ramban is saying, this exists across of Hoda, don't ask any caches. So this is Tosfos, these are Rambans. Okay? So far, so good. Do we have any other Mahalachim in Rishonim? Any other Rishonim who are bothered with the same Kasha and have slightly different Terutzim? Anybody? So the Shidduch Kubetz quotes in the beginning of Bava Metzia from the Mari Katz. What do you know about the Mari Katz? You only know one thing about him. He was a Kohen, that's about it, okay? Besides that, I don't know who he was. So comes the Mari Katz, he was a Rishon, he was in the Shidduch Kubetz, he was a Rishon. So Zog to Mari Katz, says the Kasha is a Gevalka Kasha. But I'll tell you the Teretz. The Torah says once again, says the Marikat, someone's going to trump Ein Adam Meisim Asur with Russia. What is that? A Gzeiras HaKrosov. What's the Gzeiras HaKrosov? So where is the Ramban found the Gzeiras HaKrosov? Hoda. Marikat says, no, I'll find another Gzeiras HaKrosov. You know what the other Gzeiras HaKrosov is? It's not even in the parish of Chatas. There's nothing to do with parish of Chatas. Look from the beginning of the parish to the end of the parish. There's no pasuk that says that we trump the regular halachas here. Comes the Marikatz and says, there's another parish in the Torah called Parish of Oshem Gezelus. What is Oshem Gezelus? Who we are saying is Mekayim this morning? Oshem Gezelus. Do what's Oshem Gezelus? I steal. What else happens? I steal. I swore falsely. And then what happens? And then I feel bad about it. There are no edim. Nobody caught me. I feel bad about it. I come to Beis Din his Vadah Shechat Allah. I come and I say, I can't believe what I did. I stole. I swore falsely. His Vadah Shechat Allah. What do I have to do? I have to return. Heishas Egzel Shegozol. What else do I have to do? I have to pay a chomesh. And what else do I have to do? I have to bring a korban. I bring a korban. I'm going to come to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to bring a korban. And the kohanim are going to be mocked this korban. And one of the kohanim's last name may be Katz. Remember, Katz is great, 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 great. He's going to be mocked this korban. And he's looking at the guy who brought the korban and saying, wait a second. Repeat to me what just happened. No problem, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Katz. What I did was, I stole, I swore falsely, chatasi avisi pashati, and here I am to bring the korban. And you know what the next line out of the Marikatz's great great Alta Zed is? I don't what? I don't believe you. You know the Mason Mount for Russia. But the Pusik says you're bringing the korban. The Pusik says that the Kain has no idea whether you're telling the truth or not. How can you bring a korban of an Asham? You can't volunteer to bring an Asham. You volunteer to bring an Asham, it's vayt, tachulim be'azara. Now, how in the world can the Torah be mechayev the parish of Oshem Gezelos? Licked in the parish of Oshem Gezelos is the understanding that Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Russia is not a factor. It's trumped. It should have applied, should have, would have, could have, but doesn't. So comes Mari Katz and says, this din that you bring in Oshem Gezelos, even against our better judgment of Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Russia, what's the nature of that din? Is that a quirk in Hukas Oshem Gezelos? That's just that's a chiddush atur in Hashem Gzeilus. Or says Mari Katz, maybe what that pasuk is telling me, that in the realm of karbonos, somehow the regular rules of nemanos kind of break down. Even though you shouldn't have been neman, but the regular rules don't exist, and everything ultimately depends on what you say, bein l'kula bein l'chumra. So zogt Mari Katz the second side. He says that Chazal looked at the parasha of Hashem Gzeilus, and they saw that based on the regular rules of Eidah, the base of Russia, you should have been potter. We should not have accepted your korban. But the Torah says we do. So we can extrapolate from there to the parasha of Chatas as well, where here, the Eidah, the base of Russia, should have been a reason that you should have what? You should have been Eidah, the base of Russia. Eidah, the base of Russia. So therefore, when two Eidim come and say that you waited b'shegeg, we should not have believed you when you said meizeh. We should have said that you what? What should Eidim the Meisim Atzma Russia have said? That you're chayav apater. Chayav, yeah, the direction, right? Eidim the Meisim Atzma should have made you chayav. Kamash malon the apater. What's the kamash malon? Pashas Hashem Gezelus. Whoa. Pashas Hashem Gezelus, the chiddush is going in the other direction. Pashas Hashem Gezelus is telling me, even though based on the regular rules of Nemanus, you should have been potter, kamash v'lon yechayev, here we're saying, based on the regular rules of Nemanus, you should have been chayev, kamash v'lon yepotter. It's not the same thing. That's all nichol n'gzeres ha-kosef. That's exerce. If you want to exerce, that's exerce ha-kosef. I can begin to see why the other Rishonim didn't see that. The other Rishonim would argue, it's a hachi chidish rachamana, it's a chidish ha-tayir by Hashem Gezelus. What does it have to do with anything else? It's not a din klali in all the kabbanas. It's a din prati by Hashem Gezelus. So Mari Katz is gevaldik, unbelievable pshat here. No, it's a gzeres ha-kosef, all right? The gzeres ha-kosef is the chiyuv for Hashem Gezelus. So far, all the Rishonim are all the same halach, that there's all some kind of exception to the rule here, that the rule of Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Russia should have played out here, but is not, for a variety of different reasons. And Mari Katz comes in for the punchline. The Eidei Shleima. Everyone saw the second teretz. This is a teretz to meet all teretzim. Says Mari Katz, the kasha is better than the teretz. The Inochinami, the Emes Lamita is Eidei Shleima Russia And therefore, a person is not believed to say Mezer Yisi to pater himself from a korban. In Hochinami, you are taka not believed. But that is not what the Gemara said. Didn't the Gemara say, according to the Rabbanim, you're pater because Yochalem Mezer Yisi? Zokta Marikatz. What the Gemara meant was as follows. You're neman to say Mezer Yisi in a very, very unique scenario. In a scenario when you're saying Mezer HaYisi doesn't put you into a bad light. When you're saying Mezer HaYisi doesn't make you into a Rasha. When you're saying Mezer HaYisi, you're still a Tzadik Gomor. How do you pull that one off? That sounds like Sisrei Torah. How can you say Mezer HaYisi and still be okay and still not putting your foot in your mouth and calling yourself a Rasha? So Zokta Marikatz, don't get so stuck on the word mazed. You know, you see the word mazed, so you can't, this is the image that you have. You have a very, very prejudiced image. You think, you see what calling a guy amazing. Mazed means, guys, I'm Russia. I can't wait to get that chayla down the two. I'm Amish, I can't, this is it. You know, Latayovan or Lachas, I'm really going to need this chayla. I'll give you another kind of amazing. This mazed. Those who were with us last year in Ksubas will really appreciate this one, all right? A guy. He's thinking, guy, he's saying Tehillim, he's only Daf Yomi, he's following a tzaddik, he's saying, he sees a piece of food on the table, he thinks, ah, it's kosher, mahadrin, right? What could possibly be the shayla? He takes it, he puts it into his mouth, I don't know when to stop, he reaches that point where it's not quite the moment of halachic achila. Now those who remember last year, I think we spent about a month on exactly what moment is that moment of halachic achila, with people throwing up truma up and down. It got very, very gory last year at the beginning of Yom Nairus, if I remember correctly, okay? So Rabbi say, at that moment of truth, when he's about to violate achila, all of a sudden, someone comes running into the room and says, what? What did you eat? Rabbi Yid, what did you eat? It was chalev. At that moment, it comes to the realization. There's like dramas like unfolding. It comes to the realization, Gevaholt, I have chalev here, and he can't possibly get it out. So, he's trying to choke it again. He hasn't read halacha chili yet, but he can't get it out. And then, you know, like the cartoon boom, goes down the tube. At that moment, says the Marikatz, just answer one question. Was he shegig or was he mazed? I just want to know one question. Was he shegig or was he mazed? What's the answer? He was mazed. Mazed means he was aware of the fact that he's eating chalev. Is he going to be chav to be a korban chatas? He's a nice guy. He's a tzaddik yisraelim. Is he chav to be a korban chatas? Absolutely not. You know why? Because he ate chalev and mazed. Can you call him a rasha? Can we say to him, we don't believe what you're saying because that statement of testimony makes you into the biggest rasha. Doesn't make it the biggest rasha, makes him the biggest loser. He's not a rasha. He's a klotz. He's a shlamazel. He ended up comes to Marikatz and says, we could have a chalev and eat it. We can have both of it. Namely, we can say to him, he ate it b'mezid, and therefore he's part of fin carbon. Oh, but he's not a Russia by doing that because it was clearly beyond his control. So we don't yell at him that he's a Russia. What do we gain by this at the Marikatz? Since we don't yell at him that he's a Russia, therefore the din of Eino, the Mesa Batsa Russia, doesn't kick in. So Mela, Ahot Namonos, he has Namonos, and that's exactly what the Gemara says. Now, between you and me, did this really happen? Is this what really happened? We have no idea, we couldn't care less. Because let's not forget, what do we really need this for? Is this really what happened? All we need is to make us amigo. All you have to have is to say, when he says lo achalti, what he meant was, lo achalti, b'migo that I could have said, this crazy cookie nutty thing happened to me. That's all you need. So you just have to create a theoretical on the radar screen, a possibility of a crazy kooky case where he could be amazed to be punted from a carbon, and he's enough of a tzaddik to still not say in on the mace Russia. As long as that theoretical model exists, now when he looks the Adam in the face and he says, Lo Achalti, he has an ego. That's the Marikatz's teretz. So unlike second teretz, so unlike all the other Rishonim, including himself in the first teretz, Marikatz in the second teretz says, no. He says that in Ochinami, in a regular case of saying Mezer Taka ain't on their mon, but Hocha b'mayaskinon, this crazy case of Mezer Basof, we'll call it, not Mezer Betchila, and therefore is Eino Rasha. Gevalik Teretz. What do you think nobody thought about this Teretz? Why do you think Tosfos didn't believe this? Nobody thought it, they weren't creative. Yeah, he's right. He's right in all his facts. That's called the mezer to be pulled from a carbon. That's a din. You would be pulled from a carbon because if you had your dsa iser bishas a ha'iser, you're not chayav to bring a korban. What do you think the other Rishonim had problems with? Why do you think nobody thought of this creative case? It's always the case that's too creative. Oh, it's still, I mean, call him, you know, it's just name calling. Mazed onus, it's pata from carbon.
You said yesterday that Neo could be based on Rove, and if this is a highly unlikely case, does that work out?
Oh. So now you start, that's the ball rolling. So maybe the reason why the Rishonim didn't want to go down this route is, even Hachidavi, if he would have said such a crazy thing, Taki would have been believed. He believed. But he didn't say it. We're almost trying to stick these words into, remember, it's even more than what you're saying. It's not just a migo. What did Taisa say yesterday? It's got to be migo lo what? Letarid devarav. Means a guy says, lo achalti. Those are two words, okay? Lo achalti. So lo achalti here, there are three choices what lo achalti can mean. Lo achalti can mean, I didn't eat. Now, if that's what it means, then he's not believed because their aid will say otherwise, right? So to say outright against the Edom, that's out of the question. We're going to come Edom. So what's choice number two? Lo achalti b'shogeg ela b'mezid. It's a little bit less likely, but doable, you know, workable. We can kind of stick that in if we really have to. Choice three. Lo achalti, neither shogeg nor mezid, but this is what really happened. What really happened was I ate it, and then halfway down I realized that it was chaylev, and I tried to choke it up, and I couldn't get it out, and it went down the tube, and that was all nichol in the words of what? Lo achalti. The guy's a nut. The guy's out of his mind. That's what he should have said. He should have told the story to Beis Din. It's such a good sob story. He could have come to Beis Din and cried, listen what happened. You won't believe what happened. So Bishlam of Lo Achalti, Ela B'Mezid. I understand why the guy doesn't want to talk so much. It's a little embarrassing. To say, it means, this is crazy. This is nuts. This is the Teretz Devarav. So maybe that's what the other Rishonim thought. This was just, it was overly creative. It's very creative, but it's overdone. To say amigo on this kind of crazy story is hard to believe. But I go upon him, no matter how you learn Bavitziyah Dav Gimel, there is a common denominator behind all five of these Rishonim, and that's of course why we're learning the Sugya. Every Rishon who was barred with the Kasha was all assuming that Eino the Meisim Matzah Rasha is not limited to just the Eidos. It can apply even out of the realm of pure Eidos, which throws us right back to the drawing board as to, so Taka, what is the mocher for this din? What is this din based on? How does this fit into our Gemara? What is really going on? Rabbi Sai, but before we can answer that question, before we can go back to really, really analyze what's going on as the source for this din, what the other Rishonim would say about our Gemara, I just want to make it clear to you that this is a machlekes of Rishonim. I don't want any stories about, well, they could have said, should have said, would have said, could have said. No. It's a machlekes of Rishonim. I'm going to show you from another discussion of Rishonim, another sugya, where it's clear that the Rishonim, or at least it's maybe clear, that the Rishonim are in doubt about this very nekuda. That's a sugya that appears in Baba Basra. They put it on the Mamre Kemes. Remember Baba Basra with the Ritva? Famous command of Baba Basra. Commenting on the Pasuk. Guy tries to get the Arusha away from the Pishnayim, away from his Bechor. The Torah says, because the Bechor b'lasto yakir, the din is you have to give Pishnayim to the Bechor. Kiyas ha-Bechor ben asnoa yakir. What does that mean, Kiyas ha-Bechor ben asnoa yakir, let's say la Pishnayim? What does yakir mean? He recognizes, he acknowledges that he's the Bechor. So the Gemara says that there's a tremendous chiddush in that statement. Kiyas ha-Bechor ben asnoa yakir. Not only does it mean that he has to acknowledge who the Bechor is, but the Torah is giving the father a certain degree of nemanus to acknowledge who the Bechor is. What if we don't really know who the Bechor is? We have a bunch of sons here, and we don't really know. We don't have Edom. We don't have Edom Gemurim, who was the firstborn. Based on who? Based on what? How are we possibly going to know who the Bechor is? So that's all Nichol in the parish, Kiyas HaBechor Ben Asno Yakir, that the father has nemanus. Even though if you think about it, the father really should have absolutely no nemanus. Why? He's a lot. He's got a lot of strikes against him. He's a karav. He's an eid echad. And right, the davar shebamamon. Right. There should be no reason why the father should have any nemanus. And after bichein, kies b'chol b'nas. It's exer sakasa. Kies b'chol b'nas no yaki. So come to Tanoim now and have a machlokes as to how far this exer sakasa of yakir, what we call yakir, goes. So come the rabbanon and say that yakir is a chiddush ha'Torah, and ein l'chabol l'chiddushoi. It's only true in Dinim Amunis. That means the father's belief to say who the Bechor is vis-a-vis Dinim Amunis. What about other statements about parents can make about their children? Why should the father be Nema? There are other halachic issues, so you go back to Bishnah made him Yaakov Dov, you got to figure out. So if a father comes and makes some kind of a ludicrous statement about his child, some issue that would result in some change in status vis-a-vis Dov should be Erev or something, some personal status of the child's being, like Mehecha takes the father's Nema on us. So let's say a little marshal, just a little marshal. Let's say a father would walk into Beis Din and he would say, this child of mine, let me tell you something, Beis Din. You don't know anything, but I'm going to tell you something. I happen to be a Kohen, and guess what? I just came from out of town. You don't know who my wife was, but the woman who I had this child with happens to be a Grusha, which is another way of saying, this kid is a what? A Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutz, he's a Cholo, right? Does the father believe that's it? The father's got money to make a guy into a Cholo? So come to Chum and say, Mehechetesim. He's in Erech, he's in Karm, Mehechetesim. You say a guy's a Cholo? What does the Mishnah say? And said, in Makash, you aid him in it, aid this, Kolos, aid this. Father does not stand their manos like that. So the father's not in their manos. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Kishem Shinema Loma Zebedi Bechor, Kach Nema Loma Zebedi Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. The same way the Torah gave the father the manos in the realm of Yakir, to say that the child is a Bechor, vis-a-vis Mamanus, which really shouldn't have been. We should have paskin requiring to aid him. But kachit shatayra, the yakya works, bain b'mamanis, bain b'isurim, and the father is believed to say, zebni ben grusha ben chalutza. Then Rabbi Yehuda goes even one step further, an even greater chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda says, a father is believed to make a statement about a child, where if it lefi divrei a father, it turns out he's not the father of the child. Means you have someone who we thought was the father of the child. For the last 20 years, we thought he was the father. And then he walks into the base and makes some kind of a declaration that Lefi Dvarav, Igloy Milsa, he's not even the father. He's Neman to say that also. For example, a father, quote unquote, walks into the base and says, this child is a what? Is a what? He's a mamzer. He says, my wife was Mazana, this child is a mamzer. It's not my child. So that's also included in the Chiddush HaTorah of Yakir. So this is growing by leaps and bounds, Yakir. According to the Rabbanan, Yakir is dead in its tracks. It's a Chiddush HaTorah from Mamanus, that's all no farther than that. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, Yakir takes on a whole new life. It works for Mamanus, works for Yuchsin, and it works even for Yuchsin in cases where the feed of your father turns out like, well, he wasn't the father in the first place. That's all included in the Gzeres HaKasher of Yakir. How in the world did Rabbi Yehuda know that? That's like, where did Rabbi Yehuda figure that out from? I mean, if I was learning the Pesukim, I would have said like the Rabbana, Himlech Habala Chedusha. How did Rabbi Yehuda figure it out? Anyone know? So Tosis is not sure. Tosis throws the hands up. Where did Rabbi Yehuda figure this out from? So Tosis says, maybe Rabbi Yehuda figured it out based on the reading of the Pesukim as follows. The Torah says, Kisi Enol Ish Shteino Shehim Hachas Ahuva Yachas Nua. The case that the Torah portrays teaches the Chiddush of Pishnayim. Pishnayim is true all the time. But the Chiddush of Torah Pishnayim is when the person has two wives, and one he likes and one he doesn't particularly care for. And the Torah says, Kiyas HaBachor Ben Asnua Yakir, even though she like, you have to give the Bachor, you have to give him the Bachor of Pishnayim. Kiyas HaBachor Ben Asnua Yakir. Who is this Ben Snua that the Torah is talking about? Who is she? She's someone he doesn't like? The Gemara says it can't be. Can't be. He doesn't like, first of all, how can he not like? He doesn't like somebody. So, what does that mean? So the Gemara says that it doesn't mean he doesn't like her. Just be, even if he's a Mishulim, he's a Rush, doesn't like his wife, that's going to change the Dinim of Pishnayim. Why would you in your wildest dreams thought that the Ben Stua doesn't get Pishnayim? Just because he doesn't like her? My Indian's at the Pishnayim. What do you mean, Parashat Chumash? The Rebbein Shlom had to present the entire Parashat Pishnayim in this crazy case. There's almost like a Havamina that the Ben Stua doesn't get Pishnayim. What's Havamina? Because he doesn't like the mother, so the child suffers. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition, Teshuva Pet tells us, that the word snua has a very specific halachic meaning. It means snua benisu eha. Namely, the Torah doesn't like this marriage. The Torah doesn't want this marriage to happen. What's the case? What do you mean the Torah doesn't want this marriage to happen? The it's one of these Surin Lavim, they're not supposed to be married. Now, it doesn't mean he's Baal Arayas. That can't be, because then the Torah wouldn't have called her what? Wouldn't have called her a marriage. The Torah says, Kisyeli Shtei Noshim. The Torah is describing a marriage. It's a marriage that shouldn't be taking place and we really would like to get rid of, but it never happened. So now the couple is married, or they got divorced already, whatever it is, and now the firstborn is the Ben Snua from the marriage that shouldn't have happened. So I would have had a Havamina. Hey, this marriage shouldn't have happened. These children really shouldn't have been born. I would think he doesn't get Pishnaim. That's how the Gemara in Kedushin teaches up these Pesukim. So comes Tyson and says, once you say that Bedua is talking about Snua ben Isueha, what's a good example of Snua ben Isueha? What's a classic example? Grusha l'kayin. So when the Torah says, Ki es ha-bachor ben ha-snua yakir, what is the word yakir going on? Both parts. The father is makir, that he's the bachor, and the father is also makir, that what? That he's the ben snua. So Tosfos has one pshat, quotes from some of the Balei Tosfos, that Rabbi Yehuda Shita, such a mechudesh de Keshita, it can't be just Stam learned out of Mematzinu. If he's Neman for Mamnus, he's Neman for Yuchsin. It doesn't make any sense. There's no comparison between the two. It must be also Xeris HaKosov. So whatever you slice it, whether you learn Rabbi Yehuda like that, you learn Rabbi Yehuda another way, Rabbi Yehuda holds, unlike the Rabbanan, who say that he's only Neman for Mamun, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's Neman both for Mamun as well as for Yuchsin. And strangely enough, the Gemara says in the 8th parable of Vasa, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda in this one. Normally, we have Yechav Rabbi Lacharabim, Gemara state favors with Paskin, yeah, we're in Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that's the din. So that background that the Ritva asks his famous kasha. What's the Ritva's kasha? How can a guy walk into Beis Din and say with a straight face, my child is a cholo? That is tantamount to saying I was bola grusha. That is tantamount to saying I did an avera. Ain't other meisim atzma rasha. That's the Ritva's kasha. Ain't other meisim atzma rasha. That's the Ritva's kasha. Come to Ritva, Tetz number one, and says, you're right, it's a gavaldika kasha. And if that's what you said, that I violated the Isser of Gerusha, and therefore my child's a cholok, takanat neman, says the Ritva. Hocha b'mayaskinan? You said you violated Gerusha, but what? B'shoigay, you were misled, you didn't realize she was a Gerusha. You had no idea. You were totally duped into it, you had no idea she was a Gerusha. So you walk into the Beis Din with tears in your eyes, and you say, Beis Din, listen, Shimon or Rabbi say that I can't believe it, I have to tell you, but my child, I thought my wife was Ksheir Lekarun, I found that after what she was, it was all a shaggy, I divorced her right away, I'm a nice guy, I'm a tzaddik, I want to get first Aliyah still, but let me tell you the truth, my truth is that my son is a cholo. So the Ritva says, Al Zeh Nemar, Nemar Adam Lama Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, because he's not Isa Atzmo Rosh, he's not saying he's a Rosh, he's saying he fell, he was duped. But if he walks into Beis Din and says, listen, let me tell you guys something, Beis Din, you know, I'm married to a Grusha, I'm going to stay married to Grusha for the rest of my life, and let me tell you about my son, he's a Ben Grusha, ha ha ha. So the Ritva says, ha ha, on him, we don't believe you, you're a liar, ain't the Mace Matzah Rosh, we don't trust the word you say. That's the first teres of the Ritva. So that would really put the brakes on this din of the Nemanus of Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda, Neman Lema Ben Zeh, Grusha Ben Chuda, in a very, very unique case. That's our sugya. That's the underlying question of our entire sugya. We haven't answered that question yet.
So if the reason is because...
But if you don't let me finish, I'll never know until Sunday.
But in theory, some of the reasons why we would say that wouldn't matter what intentions are.
I don't even know what the reason that we say it. So we're going to talk in theory. That would be philosophical.
The only reason why this answer works is because he's not trying to be a Rasha. He's trying to be a Tzaddik.
I'm saying that the Ritva just said. Ritva just said in the first Eretz that if he's saying a Derech Rishus, it's a problem. If he's saying a Derech Tzidkus, then it's okay.
But if
you
say
it,
he'll say
Rashi. I didn't say Rashi. We don't know where Rashi is. Relax. This is still part of the sideshow. We're not even at the main attraction. Comes Ritva v'Yehidi Shleimar. A different Teretz. What's the Ritva's second Teretz? That's the Teretz that really excites us. What's the Teretz? Who saw the Ritva inside? Which day in Ritva? What? So he could have just taken Xeris HaKosov and called it a day, but he says more than that. What does he say? Who has a Ritva here? Who's got a Ritva for me? Who's got a Ritva? You got it? Toss it up. Come on. Give it a day. It's like the dam in the Beis Hamikdash for the kabbalas. Kind of Maksas Amole. Wow. Okay, the Rebbe himself has arrived. Inami. Because there is a cause of him. Shehei Neman. That's all he said. Okay, all right. Stole that.
The next line,
I don't hear that. Next time. I don't hear that. Inami Xeris Akosif. It's a Xeris Akosif. Who wants to fill in the gaps that I thought the Rebbe filled in, but we're going to have to fill them for him? Sometimes, you know, in learning, sometimes there's like, what you think the Rishon said and what he actually said begin to merge into one in your mind. So we're just going to tell you that's what the Rishon said. What does it mean, Gzeres HaKosef? What do the words mean, Gzeres HaKosef? What do the words mean? What's a Gzeres HaKosef? The Nemanus of Yaakov is a Gzeres HaKosef. What is it not? I tell you what it ain't. What is it not? It's not Edus. This whole thing is not Edus. It's so far removed. It's an Eidechot, it's a Karav, it's a Dom Shabi Erevechot. This is Mammon, it's not Edus. It's a different kind of Nemanus. It's a Gzeres HaKosef of the Nemanus. And therefore, there's no Gzeres HaKosef that says that you're believed in a case where, to say that you did an Avera. Maybe the Pasuk is talking about the first case. Maybe the Pasuk is not even talking about Yuchsin. Maybe the Pasuk is talking about Mammonis. What does the Ritva mean it's a Gzeres HaKosef? There's no Gzeres HaKosef that says you're believed even when you make yourself a Rasha. What does the Ritva mean when he says Gzeres HaKosef? The Ne'amonis is a type of a Ne'amonis that's Gzeres HaKosef. It's not an Eidus to Kedin. It's a Din B'fnei Atzmai, and as such, the whole parasha of Eidah, the base of Rasha, doesn't apply. That's what the Ritva means in the second Teretz. So in the first Teretz, the Ritva was assuming, yeah, Eidah, the base of Rasha, Taka, yeah, that's a good svar, Taka applies. It makes a lot of sense. And the Ritva says, Hocham Amai Askinan, Shegeg. It's Gzeres HaKosef. We are translating the Ritva to mean Gzeres HaKosef means it's Lav Eidos, and therefore, since it's not Eidos, therefore the din of Eidos and Eisimatz of Russia doesn't apply. If that's the Pshat of the Ritva, then the second Teretz of the Ritva is a throwback to which Rishon? It's identical with Rashi in our Sugya. So unlike yesterday and earlier today, we found five different Teretzim in Rishonim that were contradicting Rashi, they were arguing with Rashi. At least we finally found somebody who's seeing eye to eye with Rashi. This second Teretz of the Ritva, if we're correct, it identifies the Gzeres HaKosef as being a code phrase for Lav Eidos. For Rabbi Yisai, the Ritva himself wasn't so sure that he was right. He gave a first Teretz. His first Teretz really seriously limited the din of Yakir. So what's my next question, Rabbi Yisai? Where do you go next? Learning 101. What's the next question we have to ask ourselves? So we know for a fact that the second Teretz of the Ritva was saying Lav Eidos. We know for a fact because I just told that to you. Okay? So we know that he was saying Lav Eidos. What I want to know is, what's my next Shaila? What is the first Teretz arguing about? Why didn't the Ritva want to go down that route in his first Teretz? What is the Nekudas HaMachloikas to Teretzim of the Ritva? That's the real question now I'm learning. You have to ask yourself. So we saw Gevaldike Chiddush from the Ritva's second Teretz. It put us into sync with Rashi and Asuk, so we like the second Teretz. But we have to go back to the drawing board and say, wait a second. So why didn't the first Teretz see it that way? So how do you understand the Nekudas HaMachloikas of the first Teretz and the second Teretz? Two Mahalchim. What did two Mahalchim everybody say? Either one can say that the first Teretz disagreed with the second Teretz and held like who? That, of course, it's not Eidus. We know it's not Eidus, but Afa Pichain, the first Teretz was still bothered with the Eidah of the Meisim Atzer Rasha, which would put the first Teretz in the Ritva in sync with who? With the five people on the board over here. So maybe that's how you read the Ritva. You have to read this Ritva mamish like you're very, very carefully. The Ritva frek the kasha. Eidah of the Meisim Atzer Rasha. So the first Teretz says, Takha do chinami. If you're Meisim Atzer Rasha, it's Takha, not Ne'amon. And Hocham Askin, a crazy, wild, convoluted case of Shegi. That was the first Teretz. And the second Teretz, no, says, no, your application of Eidah of the Meisim Atzer Rasha is not correct, because this is not Eidus. So why did the first Teretz say that way? So a knee-jerk reaction is because the first Teretz held that Eidah of Meisim Atzer Rasha applies across the board, even a non-Eidus, similar to the Teisus, the Ramban, the Marikatsis, the above it seems. Or the Eidus Shleimah, what's another way of learning the Nekudas HaMachlokes 2 days in the Ritva? could be that the first teretz in the Ritva agrees to what he held in the second teretz. He agrees that Nakudas Machlekes is not in Hilchas Eina the Mesa Masra Russia. The first teretz conceded to the second teretz that Eina the Mesa Masra Russia is only limited to Hilchas Eidus. But what did the first teretz held? The first teretz held that Yakir is a din of what? Taka din of Eidus. It's a funny kind of an Eidus. What's strange about it? Why is it so strange? What kind of an Eidus is it? Well, it's only an Eid Echad. And he's a Karov. But the same Rebbeinu Shalom who said, Apishnai made him Yochum Dover, said, if it's a father vis-a-vis Mamun or Yichos, the father has the Amonis Kishnei Eidim. It's Mamish Adin for Eidus. So is the Nakudas of Achleikis two days in Ritva in Eina the Mesa Matzma Rasha Machleikis? Or is the Nakudas of Machleikis? Everybody agrees about Eina the Mesa Matzma Rasha. The Nakudas of Achleikis is a Yakir Machleikis. The second teretz of the Ritva held that Yakir is not a Dinaidus, and the first teretz held it as a Dinaidus. So we can't quite tell from the first teretz what Nakuda he disagrees with. The second teretz we know for a fact, Ritva state, because it's custom, translates to be in Lav Eidus, so we know that the Ritva has taken on all the other Rishayim. The first teretz may agree to that, or may disagree with that, depending on how you learn Pshat in the Ritva. But Rabbi say, Al Hatzad, that the Ritva does mean what we suspect he may mean in the second Mahalach, that the Ritva may agree in the first teretz to the second teretz in terms of all the details of Einah the Mesa Matzah Rasha, and he's having almost more of a localized Yakir Machlekes. It's a very fascinating Machlekes, because it comes out there's a conceptual Machlekes how to understand what Yakir is. Is Yakir ultimately a new kind of an Emanos Megzer Sakasov, or is Yakir just plain old Hilchos Eidus, just missing a couple of trappings of Eidus, namely normally Eidim, need two Eidim, nah, forget about that. Normally a carver's possible, nah, forget about that. But it's fundamentally Eidus. So what is Yakir may very well be the Nakudas of Machlokes. If we could steer clear from making a Machlokes with Eidus that makes months of Russia, we may have a whole new Shiloh on our hands.
Do you like how we said in the sense of Bamashia that just from the fact that we're trying to ask the question shows that they just hear Rashi? I can only say the same thing with Ritva, just from the fact that he asked the question that it's Eidus that makes Russia, that he disagrees with Rashi.
No, well, but his teretz may be offsetting that thing. That'd be exactly what he's saying. He may be saying, no, that's such a silly question because it's only limited to Eidus. This is not Eidus, and therefore, a throwback to Rashi. All right? So that kufa may be the Shach V'Tar and the Ritva.
You say the same thing with Rashi Deglesis. Once he says it's a dinin like a carbon, maybe that's saying that I was bothered by the fact that, about the question. And today, it's dinin carbon, it's not dinin Eidus.
I don't know, maybe. I don't think so. So Rabbi Say, just outside as an aside, since the Ritva is very powerful, this Ritva, it's quite possible that the Ritva is masupik about this Nakuda. Is Yakir really Eidus with a couple of exceptions? Or is Yakir fundamentally not Eidus? Can anybody give me a possible Nafkamin or Adina between the two? A real, real Yakir Shaiva. It's a real Yakir Shaiva. The Torah is Machshir, the father, even though the father is a Karov, and even though he's an Eid Echad. What if the father would have some other kind of a psul on his hands? What if there would be some third deficiency that the father has? Let's say, for example, the father is known to be a Rasha. He's known to, he's a Mason, he's a Ganav, he's a Gazlan, he's a Michal Shaus Vasya. He's a Echonavelos Lahachas, whatever you want to call him. He's a Rasha Merusha. And he walks in the basement and tells us some information about his son. Does he believe it or not? What do you think? So if you hold that it's fundamentally Eidus, and it's really bound by all of us Eidus, except for the one or two exceptions that the Torah throws out for us, namely Father and Eid Echad. But barring those two exceptions, it works with the regular, it's governed by the regular rules of Eidus, and therefore Eid Echad Meis Matzah Rasha would apply. And if we know he's a Rasha, so then Taki wouldn't be believed. But if you introduce the idea that the Ritva says in the Sechet Teretz that it's not Eidus, it's Exeris HaKosov, that all of us Eidus is thrown out the window, the whole decisions that had been able to psul and don't apply to this. This is a different barash in the Torah. This is not down because Eidus. That's an eye opener. What would the din be? So that's not a sophic of Kivagir. So Kivagir is a shayla ma'isa. What's the din? A father walks in the basement. He gives some kind of a testimony that could potentially have disastrous consequences for his child. But we know this guy's a Rasha, Barusha. We know he's a Michal Shabbos. We know he's not Pikar. We know we have things that he would never fly in Beis Din. But he's not coming as an aide, he's coming as a father. So do we automatically say, well, the father is an aide, speaking in wearing the hat of an aide? Or do I say no? He's talking not wearing the hat of Nevi. He's wearing a hat of a Yakir. And a Yakir doesn't matter. You don't have to be too frum to say Yakir. So the Jake is not sure. So the Chorah, that's good for the Likud. That's possibly the Likud. So the Chorah is 2 days in the Ritva. Tell me, Ma'i Derva Oyum. We had a Shaila a few years ago. A real, real Shaila. That was related to this. In the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well, but it was a little nerve-wracking. There was a fellow who, I don't even know who the boy was. He came to me through the grapevine to a few different people, and it ended up having to go to the Beis Din here, ended up Beis Din there. So at the end of the day, all's well that ends well, Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. The gist of the Shaila was as follows. Wasn't the boy from my yeshiva. In case anyone's trying to figure out who it is, it's not someone who, I don't even know, I still don't know who the boy was. His parents were Bali Tshuva, and now they were completely from, but his mother had been married beforehand, that's a questionable statement, and had not received a get from my first husband, and subsequently, let's assume the worst case scenario, let's assume she was really married. Part of the hetta was that we weren't even sure she was even married in the first place. That's a different story, not for now. Let's assume the worst case scenario, that the woman was halachically married to the first husband. She never received a get from the first husband. She was, whatever, secondly divorced, whatever, separated, whatever. She was legally divorced from the first husband. And then she was still living on and off with this Jewish fellow. And she became pregnant at the time. And subsequently, some later point, this couple got married. So this child was conceived, so to speak, at a time when this woman, who may have been an Eishes Ish, was still being mizanah. She wasn't married to the second guy. She was still hanging out, whatever, living together, whatever it was, with the second fellow. And this all came now to attention of the family, to the rabbanim, 20 plus years later. What exactly the status of this child is? Very, very, very tricky shayla. So there were two potential tzadim lahakel on the shayla. So one side, the easiest side, and the easiest, leaving out the Yaakov story, was that just to say straight out that what? To say straight out that who says the first kedushin was a kedushin, and you have to go back to look at the sea. Were they really married? Were they ate them? Was it from? Was it not from? That's already, that's like standard stuff. Okay? That's like regular, they weren't from Bechlal, maybe the 81 from Bechlal. That's regular stuff. Fine. So that was a whole parsha in and of itself. Let's assume the worst case scenario that the marriage was valid. What's the tzad l'chokil? Marriage is valid, and there was no get, so two together, the kid's a mamzer. No. The kid's not necessarily a mamzer. Why? How do you know who the father of this child is? How do you know? Like, how do we know for certain who the father of this child is? This woman was being mizana with his father. She was mizana with this guy. Isha daikam mizana. She was mizana with this guy. Mizana with another guy. Another. She was not so tsunua at the time. So it's quite possible that she was mizana with who else? Which would be great for us? With the goy. Why is that great for us? Because the goy doesn't make ramzeris. Ever akal bubas yisrael. Bembe priya bembe yeshizish. Hilchasa avlat kasha. Doesn't make mamzeris. So if we could somehow ascertain that the father of this child was a goy, that would be phenomenal for us. That would make this child not a mamzer l'choladeus. We wouldn't even have to pass up the first condition. It would be not a mamzer l'choladeus. Right? So if everyone's with us, what if we can't figure it out? We have really no way of figuring it out. We threw our hands up, flip a coin, we're not sure who the father of the child is. What gevaldic principle can we follow? A great principle out there. What's a great principle?
Yeah.
Rove. But we have no idea. We have a lady's suffering who the father's child is. Rove people in the world. A goyim. The rove is, statistically the rove is, that the father's a goy. Okay? Now, we would have to do something else living in the year 2016. Or we would have to not do something to be able to make that statement with a straight face. What would we not want to do? DNA testing. Means we want to take the approach that we have a rove, even though it's fairly easy to be mevarer. You can make believe we live in the 1816, not in 2016. There's no DNA testing. Shtei in halacha rove. This shayla is as old as the hills. It's because Chachuva talks about this hundreds of years ago. These kinds of shaylas. We have an Eishes Ish all of a sudden becomes pregnant. We have no idea who the father is. Rove. So, if we're willing to ignore the DNA testing, which is another shayla in and of itself, and we're willing just to go with the old school thought that it's a rove and rove achram and finished, shalom Yisrael. What's the problem here? The problem is, we've been assuming this child has been raised by who? By this new father, who probably, between you and me, probably is the father. The Jewish guy, who's the miut is the father. The miut possibilities, halachically is the father, but probably is the father. When the father is interrogated, and we ask him, so tell us, mister, is this your child or not? What does the father say? Of course it's my child. He said, I know this woman. She was not with anybody else. You were living together. I'm telling you, this is my child. When the father gets up and bathes and makes that statement, this is my child, that's a disaster. Why is that a disaster? Because that's Yakir. That's Mamash Yakir. He just said that his child is a mamzer. By saying those words, this is my child, that stands about to say my child is a mamzer. So the last thing we want to do is to get this guy into bathes and have him talk. Right? But he comes. He introduces himself. He starts telling us. Now that's another question, whether we can close our ears, we can listen to him. But let's intimate the worst case scenario. He's talking, okay? Does he have the nemunas of Yakir? What's the answer? He's giving us information about something that happened when? 20 plus years ago, when he was clearly a... He wasn't from. He says, I wasn't from. We knew him. He just came from in the last few years. We know he wasn't from. Does he automatically lose that nemunas? Now, when you give edus about something, you have to be kosher. What's the din? Bein b'shas what? Who remembers? Bein b'shas re'iyah samhaisa. Bein b'shas edus. You have to be kosher with chalas of a sofei. So he's walking into Beis Din and giving us edus about a piece of information that's relevant at a time when we know for a fact he wasn't from b'chol. Harai, we know he wasn't from. He went ahead and married an Ish, and it's not with an Ish's Ish. So according to one side of Rabbi Kivager, according to one side of this Ritva, possibly, depending on how you learn this Ritva, it could be, if the first Teretz of the Ritva didn't say La Vedas, but the first Teretz held really, truly, it is Edus. So it's Rabbi Kivager, if it's Edus, then it's subject to all the Din of Edus. And one of the conditions of Edus is, you have to be Kashal Lahoyed. So the whole Din of Yaakov wouldn't apply to someone who will feed the Varvas in Russia. So we're not so sure that Yaakov is going to do us in over here. Okay? We're not so sure Yaakov is going to kill her for us. So if Yaakov is not going to kill her for us, either because we're just not going to listen to him, we're not going to have him even testify, we're closed today when he comes in, we have a right to do that. So we're not interested in hearing his story, and even if Timsalom tells a story, we're not going to accept it halachically. If that's true, that Yaakov doesn't play a role, and we're also true that we have a right to follow like the way the Acharonim write, in effect you follow the Reiv, even though DNA could change that, we're not mechuyev to do DNA testing. No, doesn't say in the Torah you have to do DNA testing. So there was a whole mahalach in Pesach that was willing to be machsha this child based on this. It means we're going to say the kid's not a mamzer. We're going to say with a straight face, the rove is his father's not this guy in front of us. We don't believe this guy. He's not a Yakinik. We don't trust Yakinik. He's a Russia. Blah, 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 the whole story. And we go with the regular rove. We don't have any other baby being revived. DNA we're not mechuyev to do. And therefore, we go blight with rove. Acharam lahatis. Pashas mishpatim is matter this child. That was the thrust of the psach that was finally given on this child, based on this cheshbon. Lefidi is daiti. I agreed with the psach. I thought the psach was correct, but I was much more comfortable with the description of what happened at the Kedushin. The way the Kedushin was described to me, described the rope, the status of the Kedushin, it sounded like a very, very shaky Kedushin, whether there was any Kedushin whatsoever. There was, to the best of anyone's recollection, there was one kosher aid there at the time. Nobody seemed to know for certain whether there was a second aid who was actually present. There was some rumor that there was a second aid who was around. The first aid already was in the Olam HaEmes, so we had no way of being aware of that. The woman has a cheskas, you know, a cheskas pnuy until proven otherwise. You know, I was more confident, so to speak, in that the original Kedushin was Nishkin Kedushin. a fake speaker. So either the original kedusha was no good, or if this whole chagadja with the yakka story, you know, with the rove goyim is okay, either one of these things independently will be mat to this child lavoy b'kohol. So the psak was given by a chosh of a chosh rebezdin in Eretz Yisrael that this child is muta lavoy b'kohol based on all of this this presentation. But one small nekuda of the shaila was this 2 days in the ritva, was this suffix in Rebbe Kivega about what the nature of yakka is or is not.
Maybe we'll bring up Tosfos here. I don't did tshuva already, and now he's just trying to figure out if his kids are mom, if they're allowed to get married or not.
No, so that's gonna make
him.
Yeah, no. We don't want. No. That may be true. This is also an Ein Adam Meisim. This is not going to be an Ein Adam Meisim because he says he's a shogeg. This guy didn't know that this is Eishes Ish. 20 years, he had no idea that she was a Eishes Ish. He didn't know what kedushin meant. So that's not Ein Adam Meisim. Is not going to help us. But if he's a psul Russia, that's going to help us. Yeah. So the good news is that the child didn't come up until he was already 20. So I guess they did look like identical twins. I mean, would that play a role? And halacha, does that play a role? I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, like Pashas told us, Avram Holin is Yitzchak. Whatever it was. Apparently that factor didn't exist here.
Is there no problem with withholding evidence or not using evidence that makes...
That's another question. I mean, the question is, we know that someone could potentially come and tell us something. Are we mechuyev to listen to the father? That's a lomda shashayla. Are we mechuyev to do such a thing? That when the Torah was given pre-DNA. So with the 100 years ago, when the shayla would have come up, they would have said it's muta based on rov. We know the shayla appears in classic poskim. This is not the first time this happened. That you have an Eishes Ish became pregnant. We know it's not the husband. And now we're trying to figure out who was the mezana. So we go rov basar goyim. This is already an age-old shayla. So this is part of a general question about how much you take DNA into halacha. That's a good question. It's a good question. Not for now. Okay, we'll talk about it the next YU science or something like that. Okay. But by the way, the only reason we talked about this crazy case is because it has to do with this Rebbe Kivega, this 2 days. But we're learning about Mitzia. What are we learning now? That's what we're learning. What are we learning? Sahedrin. Who's the right Sahedrin? Okay. So we're learning Sahedrin right now. I was talking to somebody the other day, so we were talking about which parak and Sanhedrin we were learning. So I said, you know, I was heavy in wanting to teach the 8th parak. So I said, one of the reasons I didn't want to do the 8th parak, I love the 8th parak, but there's a lot of Kimmel Dramine, a lot of Rodef, a lot of stuff that we spent so much time on last year in El Naras. We have a lot of guys who are returnees. So I said, I don't know, you know, I felt like a little funny spending another month on Kimmel Dramine and Rodef. We spent so much time last year on it. So I said, so we're learning the end, we continued in the first parak, and the front of the first sugya was, we spent on Misla Zem Mamazeh, we spent the whole week on Kimmel Dramine. So I said to the other rabbi, I said, you know, it's hard to run away from Kimmel Dramine. Every Masech you turn, you end up with Kimmel Dramine. So he said to me, if you would have learned brachas, you wouldn't have had that problem. That's right. Okay, good. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So I think we have proven one thing, that Rashi is not the only version of Ein Adam Meis Matzah Rashi. For we spent a lot of time in the Rishon Rav Metzia, a lot of time in the Ritva. There is another line of reasoning out there. Rabbi said that other line of reasoning, if you're not on Rashi's side, then you have two very important things to solve for us, two very, very real problems to deal with. A textual problem and a conceptual problem. The textual problem is, Rava said, Adam Karav Eitz Alatzimai. Adam Karav Eitz Alatzimai. For what Rava said, almost as the prelude to Ein Adam Meis Matzah Rashi, was exactly how Rashi, that's how Rashi put in that keyword, what was the keyword of yesterday of Rashi? It was the Madrigal Lefikach, therefore. So how are you going to get around Rava's statement, Ein Adam Meis Matzah Rashi, is because of Adam Karav Eitz Alatzimai. That's number one. And if for some deep, dark secret, you're going to tell me a Shtickle Torah, that Adam Karav Eitz Alatzimai is solving another problem, it's not the prerequisite to Ein Adam Meis Matzah Rashi. So then, how do you know? So what's the source, Takhat Ein Adam Meis Matzah Rashi? So you have two real problems to work on. You have to work on the words of Rava, and then conceptually, so talk, what is the marker if that's not the marker? So Rabbi Chanan attacks the first problem. Rabbi Chanan says, if you read Rava really carefully, Rava really had to convince us of multiple things. That's how we started the sugya yesterday. Rava's goal was to disagree with Yosef. Rav Yosef said, it's history. You're not Neman, you're a Russian, finished. And Rav is really trying to salvage this Eidus. to salvage his Eidus, he has to come up with two chidushim. Chidush number one is, he has to tell us that ultimately the Eid is not believed against himself. But then he has to say something else also. The Eid is not believed against himself, but then we have to take a scissors and dissect his Eidus and take the part that we want, i.e. the two magic words called Pagina Dibura. Says Rabbi Chonon, Rava is not a therefore, like Rashi said, according to all the other Rishonim. Rava is statement number one and statement number two. There are two independent, there's a period here. It's a new paragraph there. It's not a therefore. It's not a continuation of the sentence. There are two distinct problems, and Rav is coming up with two creative solutions to those two problems. One is, hey, wait a second. The guy's a Rasha, so it's over. What was Rav's response? The guy's a Rasha. What was his response? Ain't nothing makes him out to Rasha. Immediately, I have no idea. Rav never bothered telling us, it's so obvious. We'll find out, hopefully. Second problem. What's the second obstacle for Rava? By getting Dibura, that's why Rava said Adam Karvei Tzel Atzmo. Adam Karvei Tzel Atzmo is not a response of why Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. That's not, he never gave a reason why. Adam Karvei Tzel Atzmo is a response to the second obstacle of how do we pull off the stunt of Pagina Dibura? You know what enables us to pull off Pagina Dibura? Because Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, therefore, catch that word, therefore, Pagin and Dibura. That's a very different therefore. What does it mean? What do the words mean? What does Adam Karev's Atzmo have to do with Pagin and Dibura? But I said, who remembers this? One Rishon is going to solve the problem now. Who's going to come to the rescue? The famous Shita of who? We know him already. The famous Ravid. What was the famous Shita of Ravid about? When you could split and when you can't split. When do psulim spread and when do psulim not spread? Who remembers the Raiva that I'm talking about? It wasn't in the sugya that you think it's in. It was in a previous sugya. It was a famous shita Raiva in the sugya of what? Of Nimtza Echab in Ha'edim Krov Psulim. Three Edim walk at the Beis Din. Two of them are kosher, one of them is possible. Okay? Yep. Three guys walk into Beis Din. Okay? Kosher, kosher, possible. Alright? They're all coming together. Here's the state. Sometimes the halacha says, it's all for one and one for all. We can't separate them one from another. And therefore, if one goes down, they're all going to go down. If one's disqualified, they're all disqualified. That's sometimes we say. That's a pishtayim eidim, shlosh eidim. But every once in a while, we don't say that. Every once in a while, what we do is, I'm gonna cheat on this one. We do palginon ha'eidim. I didn't say palginon dibura. We split the eidim apart. We say, thank you. See you next time. We'll accept two out of the three. What are the criteria? When do you say which? When do you say that all for one and one for all? Or when do you split? What were the two magic words? What were the two magic words that taught us when to view it as one unit and when to split? Yakum Dovar b'mekayme Dovar hakosav medaver. Unlike Tosfos, who told us what does mekayme Dovar mean, who remembers what was the reshot of mekayme Dovar? Eid Amein in contrast to Eid Haraya. What did the Ravid is quoted by the Rabban the Rosh say? What does Mekayim Dover mean? An Eid who is a what? Who is an Eid who is a what? When do you say Mekayim Dover, an Eid who is a what? Who is an Eid? Apostle. In contrast to someone who is what? Who is not an Eid altogether. If three Eidim walk into Beis Din, two Ksheirim and one Apostle, we cannot split them. That's the Gzeres HaKosov. But if the apostle is not apostle, the apostle is so apostle, he is so bad, that he's what? That he's not a what? He's not an eight altogether. He's a monkey. He's a nothing. Or he's a what? I don't want any monkeys. He's a what? He's a bow. Aldover. Aldover's not an eight apostle. He's not an apostle, this guy. He's a nothing. He doesn't exist. The Baldover is the commander lay sedami. Alzel lo ne'emar apishnai medim shlosh edim. Makishnai medim shlosha. Alzel ne'emar paginin ha'edus. Zoch the Ravid, just as in Hilchas Paslos Ha'edim, the Torah differentiates between whether it's an eight posel versus a non-eid, so too in Hilchas what? In Hilchas what? In Hilchas Pagid and Dibura, which is not Paslos Ha'edim, but it's almost something else. It's Paslos Ha'wat, Ha'edus. There are only two Edim here. It's Paslos Ha'edus. We're going to take the parts of the story that we want, and we're going to discard others. How can you do that? Who gave you right to start dissecting? Who gave you right to start cutting the parts you want and throwing out the rest? The answer is, who gave me the right? The Torah gave me the right. Because the Torah set up a model for me, saying, three Edim are one unit, but if one's not an Ed, then he's out of the unit. An Edus is a unit, but that's only if statements that are Chalan and Hashem Edus. Any statement that's not Chalan and Hashem Edus is Kevan Delay, that doesn't register in our recorder based in. We didn't hear it, it's not on the tape recorder, it doesn't exist. And therefore, what can we do? If it doesn't exist, what can we do? Pagin and Dibura on it. Zokta Bochonon, Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo is the exact antithesis of what Rashi said. What does Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo mean? That you're basically an aid, but you're a Karav, you're an aid puzzle. What does the Ravid's Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo mean? You are so close to yourself that what you're saying isn't registering. It is mamish 180 to be different from Rashi. It's not an aid, you're not an aid puzzle, you're a Nishkin aid. And therefore, Rava was forced to introduce Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo as a way to explain ultimately what Pagid Dibur is all about. So comes Rav Chanan and says, Rava, according to all the Rishonim, disagreed with Rashi in our page, according to Ramban and Tezmer and Katz, 1 day and Ritzvah, 2 days, according to everybody, Rava was addressing two different issues. He was saying, Ain't the Nesim Asma Rasha has nothing to do with the Chassidus. Absolutely nothing to do with the Chassidus. And now, you want to know why the necessity for Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo, that's addressing a different issue. How dare we say Pagid and Dibura? Don't you know you don't split up Eidus? The answer is you're right. You don't split up Eidus, but you do split up when it's Dishkin Eidus. That's what Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo means. So Bechanan solved the textual problem in Rava, but there's one last akuda that's still lacking. What's the last akuda? What's the last piece of the sugya? What is it? What is the source? What's the source? What's the source for eight other Mason Matzah Rasha? Where does it come from? What's the source? Anyone know? I cheated because I gave you a Rashi in Yevamos, who's going to give you a source for eight other Mason Matzah Rasha that Rashi didn't have to say. Rashi in Yevamos wasn't Meshubit to say what he said, because Rashi already had a very, very good source that said, Hedon Taftes. But Rashi in Yevamos, for some reason, went down a different route to give you a different source. Ain't about the Mesa Matzah Rasha. Anyone knows what it was? Rashi highlights the fact that on the one hand we know there's a din of hadas about din kamei edim dami. How do you know that? Asher yomaki hu. Is there? But there's an exception to the rule. When do we not say hadas about din? Who remembers? Knas, right? We don't say, listen to this one, Rabbi. So you don't say hadas about din by knas. Why not? Listen to the pasuk. You're going to shake when you hear the pasuk. What's the makar? How do you know? Menon immediately don't say those, but by kenas. Asher, what's the next word? Yarshiun. Elohim is referring to Beis Din. Prat Lawat. Listen to the way Chazal formulated the din of Maidba Kenas Potter. Prat. Listen to the words. Prat Lemarshia Es Atzmo. What a bizarre way of describing that Maidba Kenas is Potter. But a strange formulation, a strange word, a strange marker for the Torah to give us that Modeh B'Knas is Potter. What is the Torah saying? Why is Modeh B'Knas Potter? Conceptually, why is Modeh B'Knas Potter? What is the ultimate difference? Those who live Il-Nairis with us will remember this. What is the ultimate difference between the Tashlumin of Mammon and Knas? What does it really, truly boil down to? What is the Knas and what is Mammon? Mammon I'm paying for what? What do I pay if I broke the window? Why? Because I caused it, Mammon. Why do I pay Kefa? Why do I pay Dalday? Why do I pay Chalishim Kesef? Why do I pay Shalim Shalevin? Why do I pay that? Because I called the Hefsid? What is the Knas? There is no Hefsid. Why do I pay? It's a Knas Chiruchi. It's a response to an Aveira that I did. That's why I did something wrong. Every Knas is a Knas on a Maisa Isser that I did, a Resha that I did. So what does the Torah say? Asher Yashiud, problem Asher Satsmai. If Edom caught you doing the Aveira, then you have to pay a Knas. If you come forward to Beis Din and tell us you have a Knas, what is that tantamount to saying? When I say, I was Tevech HaMeicha, I was stolen, Chayav Kefal, I was Ma'anis, this girl, what am I saying? I'm walking to Beis Din saying, I did a what? Asher Yashiyun. I'm saying, I did a what? I did a Risha. What did the Torah say to me? What does the Torah say? You potter. Why you potter? Because we don't believe you. You know why we don't believe you? Because, catch this one. Ain't other Mason Atzme Rasha. That's the mocker. Meidah B'Knas is the mocker for Ain't other Mason Atzme Rasha. Who read the Rashi carefully in Yevamos? What did Rashi say? Who saw the Rashi really carefully in Yevamos? What does Rashi say? Got Yevamos here? Pay the computer. Redeem yourself from before. Sent me before, we didn't need it. But now it was my fault, not your fault. Quick, hand it over, quick. Rashi, quick. Look, Rashi, listen to this. Ain't other Mason. But how the kind one, Hadas Pif, come here, Adam Dami. I happen to be a din of Ain't other Mason, Master Russia. I, there's a din of Hadas Baldin. Honey, me, Lima Moina. About Nasa. Rashi should have stopped. Aval Knasa lo. Right? No, it's the Rashi. Aval Knasa. Ula Onish Malkus. Vili Posel. What does Vili Posel mean? To posel yourself for being a aid. Rashi put into the same Ratechne Dibur, just as we learn from the Pasuk of Asher Yashiyun, Pratlam Asher Satz, but that's the source for Madri Knas Potter. Rashi zucked in the same breath. Rashi says, just as the Knasa is not Ne'eman, so too the Apostle is not Ne'eman. What? Is that the same thing? This Rashi saved the day. Rashi, Mamshik Gevaldik. He saved the day for all the Rishonim who disagree with him in Sanhedrin. Why Rashi felt compelled to say this, I don't know. Why Rashi and Yevamos didn't say what he said in Sanhedrin, I don't know. But linked in that Rashi, those two words, the Apostle, Loi. Looked at that Rashi stuck together the din of Lipasa Loi, the din of Mevi Kras Potter. Thus is the mokor for Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. And it can apply even out of formal Eidus. Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. It's an absolute. So Rabbi say, we have two radically different ways of reading Agamemnon. We have Rashi's Pshat, Rashi and Sanhedrin, I mean. The Rava is... It's one issue. Rava is not explaining why you should not say Pagir and Dibura. They have to wait for future sugyas. Rava is just saying, finished. I'll tell you why Ein Adam Meis Matzah Rasha, because the therefore, the Mekrevet Matzah, therefore Ein Adam Meis Matzah Rasha. That's Rashi's Pshat. Then you have all the other Rishonim who had a different Mahalach, clearly. 2 days of Rivon, they may not have a different Mahalach. Everything we spoke about up until now, you have to go down the route of Rabbi Chanan in terms of the text of Rava, and you have to fall back on that Rashi in Yevamos in terms of an alternate marker, any other Mason Matsu Rashi. Okay? We'll stop here. Okay, we'll be able to have it here. Come with us tomorrow, those who want to come.
My morning, what time is it?